Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, isn't working. All right, everything's going wrong. It's ridiculous. All right. This is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. Sorry. Holy moly. All right. My mouse just did not want to function right there. I am on tonight with Kim Lair. How are you, Kim?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you, Mark?
Welcome to the show. I'm doing all right.
Thank you.
And this is part two. Well, this is take two of last week's debacle.
Yes.
Where I screwed that up. I totally dropped the ball. You thought you were going to be reviewing this episode, which you were correct. We were supposed to review this last week. And instead I watched and reviewed, I was prepared for the hilarious barn burner episode. I came to the table feeling sad, and you came to the table thinking, oh, this was goofy.
And you thought I was a monster.
I was like, what is her problem? Like, oh, well, at least it's lighthearted. What? What's wrong with her? I actually sent an email to your husband.
Oh, no.
I was like, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned.
No. Get her help.
Right. And no, but what we were supposed to review is this November 16th first airing episode of 1981 of The Legend of Black Jake, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is right.
I look at it and I just keep thinking, I don't know. This one just got stuck. I don't understand why I couldn't get past it. What did you think of this episode the first time you saw it?
It's so funny. It's such a departure from your typical Little House episode. It almost feels like a cartoon.
Yeah. Like Keystone Cops.
Yeah, moments. But it's hilarious. This is the most I've ever laughed out loud watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie. That's for sure.
Now, there was a Western comedy that was on in the early 80s. I'm going to do a quick search for it, but I wonder if this was in response to that.
Oh, interesting. I could also see it being on the cutting room floor of Bonanza or something like that.
It feels like a big blooper episode, actually.
Yeah, it's so light and goofy, and, you know, I think Laura has four lines in it. It's not our typical cast of characters, but if you're a Nels Olson fan, then this is the episode for you.
Yeah, this one is a strange one, too, because it's also we get a sadistic Nels.
Yeah, he actually finally kind of gets some revenge, if you will, on Harriet. And it's kind of like, yeah, you go, Nels. I'm proud of you.
So Nels is going to go fishing, which I think we've seen Nels go fishing a few times. I don't think it's completely uncommon.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're hearing about the pure gold lure.
Yes, it's supposed to catch fish like crazy.
Now, do you fish?
I'm not a big fisher. My husband's a huge fisher. You know, we live right on the river. He loves to fish. I fished a lot more when I was younger, but
Right.
not really so much.
So people always have these kind of methods of trying to catch fish, right?
Yes.
I think even Laura had a thing where she would put bread on the hook for
Yeah, it
sure.
was like dough scraps.
It's like so strange. And so this kind of falls into that, that legendary thing. Now, when he first talked about the lure, he did call it pure gold.
Yes.
So I thought that that was kind of interesting. But I will get to that, I guess. But the episode starts with kind of a Keystone Cops moment. I don't know if you're familiar with Keystone Cops
Oh,
from
definitely.
yeah. So I'm gonna play it. We know right away this is going to be a different type of episode. We also, I'll point it out after the horse and carriage pull away, but here we go.
It's like taking candy from a baby.
Well, we have two guys actually, and they're robbing a bank. And they're getting in the getaway vehicle.
Georgie, we got to sit down and figure out where we went wrong.
I think we're gonna have us a lot of spare time to do just that, Max.
This being the fourth time I put Max and George behind bars. You might think they might be after moving out in the neighborhood. Let's go.
So Max and Georgie go to the escape vehicle, and they pretty much go right into the. What do they call these things?
It's like a paddy wagon, but
Paddy
it's a
wagon.
horse and carriage.
Why do
Yeah.
they call them paddy wagons, I wonder?
I don't know.
If somebody out there knows.
We're gonna find out.
So Max and Georgie, I forgot to write down their names. I kept hearing Georgie, but never Max. So Max and
Yeah.
Georgie are bumbling crooks.
And you know, it's kind of almost like a Home Alone vibe.
Yes, you know what? Absolutely.
They're the sticky bandits. There's like the smarter one kind of running the show and kind of the big dumb oaf who's lovable.
And it's bizarre, and also maybe even a tinge of Dumb and Dumber with because they're really, really just unaware of how stupid they are. They're riding
Yeah.
a donkey for one thing, which I think is kind of funny.
I agree. I felt so bad for that one donkey, but seeing two grown men on a donkey is
That's funny.
hilarious. Multiple times it got a laugh out of me. And if I can, I know what a paddy wagon is now, thanks to Google.
Oh, why is it called a paddy wagon?
It is an ethnic slur for Irishmen who were usually the policemen.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. And I'm Irish, so I can use that
There you go.
term. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm a Mick. are you Irish?
I'm
Okay.
very
Oh,
Irish.
there you go. All right. Well, welcome. I
Oh,
don't know
thank
what
you
that
so
means, but at least you're not offended.
Yeah,
How
oh
could you
no.
be? Well, I was going to actually comment the fact, like, I thought it was this weird stereotype that the two, well, at least the one guy was clearly Irish or Scottish.
Oh, the policeman.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
definitely had that thick, early New York accent. But here we go.
I think we must have passed it already.
Don't be ridiculous. We'd have seen it if we passed.
Oh, sure. Just like we'd have seen that police paddy wagon if it'd been anywhere near that bank.
I told you, don't ever mention that paddy wagon.
Don't mention the paddy wagon. Don't mention the time we tunneled into the warden's bedroom.
Anybody could have made that mistake if we'd have gone to the left instead of the right.
Don't mention the night that we tried to rob Rosie's dance hall.
You act like I should have known that was the night of the policeman's ball.
All I know is, Max, sometimes your ideas sound a whole lot better than the way they work out. Matter of fact, most of the time they do.
Yeah, well, it was my idea to buy old paint here, wasn't it?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just exactly what
Well,
I'm
our
talking
luck is
about.
about to change, Georgie. Just
Sure.
wait and see.
Hey, look at that.
What's it say?
Welcome to Walnut Grove. Shop at Olson's. Oh, boy. Mercantile Tiles.
Walnut Grove, that's on a map, isn't it?
Yeah, here it is. According to this, Lefty's hideout's right outside Walnut Grove.
I told you our luck was going to change.
I guess you're right, Max. I'm sorry. I never should have doubted you. Should have never doubted you.
Well,
Never.
don't do it again. Get up, old paint! Yeah!
So it's very, it's fun. It says, welcome to Walnut Grove, shop at Olson's Mercantile. That's a fancy sign.
They have billboards now, apparently.
Billboards. Yeah, it's like about 20 by 30 inches. And it just sits there, you know, just.
Yeah.
Hilarious. You know, the guy who plays Max, I kept wondering where I saw him before. I don't know if you looked into his past at all.
Well, I definitely know him from MASH. He is the guy who they're trying to get him like a nose job and trying to see if that's covered under like army care. Yeah. But he's also a very often he's very a PA announcer on MASH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remembered it from MASH, but I also remembered him from Newhart. I don't know if you ever watched that.
I haven't, no, but I'm aware of it, but I haven't watched it.
It's one of those weird shows that you look back and you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I will revisit because it's such a quaint idea. Bob Newhart and his wife run a bed and breakfast.
Aw.
And it's hilarious. At least I thought when I was younger. It's weird, the kind of shows that we watch when we're little, you know? So they're on their way to Walnut Grove because, you know, it really is a destination town.
No doubt. They have the Mercantile.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a landmark. So they're looking around for a mine shaft. I'm just going to let them continue talking.
Like an old deserted mine shaft to you?
It's here. It's here.
Oh, it is. Well, excuse me. Perhaps I just didn't see it right off. Would you care to point it out to me?
It's...
I told you not to trust that lefty. And I told you not to buy this stupid map, too. But do you ever listen to me just once? No, never. This is just exactly like that time we got lost when we went to rob that orphanage.
I told you never to mention that orphanage!
Orphanage! Orphanage! Orphanage! Max? Max? Max, where'd you go? I won't mention it no more, brother. Max! Max!
I'm in here!
Max!
I wonder, is this the same mine that where Carrie fell down the air hole?
Has to be. How many other mine shafts, you know, can people just fall right through the earth to and outside of Walnut Grove?
You'd be surprised.
Maybe.
Maybe it happens a lot. So
yeah, I don't know.
You find the mine shaft. They bought the map from a lefty. Was that right?
Oh, yeah, I guess they did.
What does that mean? I'm a lefty.
No, it's like their friend. That's his name.
Oh, okay.
That's Lefty's hideout.
I didn't know if Lefty was a another maybe racial slur.
I mean, I don't think so.
After seeing Barn Burner, we understand that Walnut Grove and Little House on the Prairie in general tend to really like racial slurs, or at least they include them very often.
And we must be very tender with them.
Yes. it hurts my ears when I... Barn Burner's a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
It still stings. I'm not going to lie. So they're still chatting it up about getting to Walnut Grove. So here they are entering Walnut Grove.
First Walnut Grove, then Sleepy Eye, then Mankato. Word of our daring exploits grows. No one can find us. Before you know it, we're as famous as the hole in the wall gang.
Hey, there's that
Mercantile. The store.
There it is.
First we case it, then we strike.
So they have a plan. Mm-hmm. But Charles is inside. Did you kind of get the idea that this entire episode felt like when you went to the townsfolk, kind of like a dream sequence?
No, I didn't get that at all, to be honest with you. But I did feel like Michael Landon had like a severe head cold during the filming of this.
That's what I forgot you actually told me about that. I'm very stuffy right now, but I don't have a head cold. I'm just stuffy.
He has this almost like he's talking with a sore throat. I don't know. Maybe I'm projecting, but I feel like he was definitely just not 100% there that day.
I'm surprised he didn't pick up an elixir.
Yeah, exactly. Well, probably Mr. Edwards cleaned them out.
Oh, that's true. They never restocked it. It took them forever to sell it out. All right, here we go.
That sure is a beauty, Nils.
It's called pure gold. If you ever used it, you'd know why. trout go after this thing like it was some kind of a fish magnet.
Well, Zolson, you always told me you caught more fish than anybody else because you're a better fisherman. You never told me you had a better lure.
Well, everybody has to have something that he does better than anyone else, even if he does have a little help along the way.
That's the truth. Here, let me carry this out for you.
Oh, thank you.
Now, the reason why I point out that I think that it seems like a dream sequence is everybody is kind of acting out of character.
Hmm.
So just, I don't know. By the end of this episode, you tell me if I have any merit to what I'm pointing out. I probably don't. It's okay.
I'll keep it in mind.
Now, I don't see any reason to say anything about this little secret of mine to anybody else.
Oh, your secret's safe with me, Nels. As long as you let me use pure gold next time I go fishing.
It's a deal.
All right.
Now, this is where Big Mouth gets overheard.
You going back to the same place you struck it rich last time?
Sure. No point in finding a new place when I got my own private gold mine.
That's the truth. You take special care of that pure gold now.
Hey, I thought that was our private secret.
Nels, my lips are sealed. Good luck.
Thank you. Come on. Let's go.
Get a room, you two. So we see kind of immediately, right, that they've been overheard by Max and Georgie, the I guess crime team, we can call them. Mm-hmm. Do they have a name? Do you remember, like, do they have a group name?
Like the Sticky Bandits? No. No, I don't think that they
do. Bloody Baiters.
Oh, that doesn't sound great.
Well, the Bloody Baiters at least were real.
Oh.
Oh, did you know about the Bloody Baiters?
No.
Then you're going to enjoy a future podcast that I think gets released this week for Walnut Grove Cast. It is an interview with the author of a book called Little Slaughterhouse on the Prairie.
Oh, I can't wait.
So trying to remember his name. His last name is Schechter. But he was kind enough to have an interview with me. We discussed the Bloody Baiters. The Bloody Baiters were a family of serial killers that lived very close to where the Ingalls lived at the same period of time.
Oh, that's so cool. That's like my two, it's like a Venn diagram of my two things, Little House on the Prairie and true crime.
Oh, so really? I didn't know liked true crime.
Obsessed.
All right, we have to have the separate conversation.
Okay.
Because for my other podcast, I am actually interviewing quite a few of these people. These true crime people. I don't know. I even spoke to, well, we'll go into it, but I've spoken to people who are extremely close to people who are in prison for serial crimes. And, you know, they'll help write books. And it's kind of an interesting thing. But that's ontheodd.com. A whole different podcast. All right. So here we go. We have Nels being overheard. Clearly, they think that they have gold. I mean, that he has gold on him.
Right, in his fishing tackle box.
Right, which might even make sense, like if you just want to be inconspicuous.
Yeah, sure.
So he's just riding along, minding his own business on his way to his crick.
And the two guys give chase on the donkey, and Georgie is just punching the donkey in the butt to get it to go faster. And that probably made me laugh more than anything. I don't know why.
Very funny. The way they bop up and down is, and I think they even add in sounds for the donkey, which is funny.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. My note says, idiots robbing Nels.
Right there.
Give us your gold. Nobody gets hurt.
I don't have any gold.
Oh, a wise guy, huh? Get it, Georgie. Rich.
You're welcome to anything I have.
Thanks a lot. We'll just take the pure gold.
I'm just going to blast this lock off.
He sticks his hand right in.
Is that gold? Who are you trying to kid?
Well, I told you I didn't have any gold.
Doggone it.
By the way, it looks like this guy hasn't washed his hands in like 3 weeks.
Oh, I didn't notice. He's got just lures sticking out of his hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Georgie, why'd you take your hood off? Now he's seen your face. We can't take a chance on him talking.
I won't say a word to anyone. I promise.
We can't just let him go.
I know that. You think I don't know that?
I won't say a word. You've got my word.
Can't take him with us.
I know that.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why not take him with us?
Him? No.
We take him with us. We send a ransom note. And we're what?
Kidnappers.
Rich, you idiot!
Money. We get money.
Yeah. Was that your store, the one you was locking up?
Yes, my wife and I...
You gotta be worth a fortune. Georgie, this could be the big one we've always dreamed about, right, Georgie?
Oh, Max, this could be the big one! Yeah.
So he squeezes his fist and... Of course. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. So, they don't have the worst plan I've ever heard on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're not hurting Nell, so that's good already.
Yeah, and things definitely go strange, though. So they send a ransom note. I was thinking, how are they going to send a ransom note? So we have Harriet, who's soaking her feet and just relaxing. Mm-hmm. And they throw a stone through her window, and it goes into her pot of water. And I was thinking the first time I saw this, or this time, I was thinking, I wonder if she maybe makes it unreadable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been kind of funny. It's like, oh, what is this? Oh, it doesn't say anything, you know? And just ignores
it. I think
it's
way more funny how it ends up.
It's absolutely more funny this way, but all right, here we go.
Nels? Kidnapped?
$100 ransom?
Do you want to explain that sound?
Yes, any time that you hear that sound, and it will be plentiful, it is Harriet fainting.
It gets to be a bit much.
Oh, yeah. There are a total of 5 faints this episode.
Oh, really? Is there 5?
Yeah, there's 5. 4 Harriet and 1 surprise at the end.
Yeah. And I do, you know, I do want to mention that particular character because we get to see a different version of that character in this episode. Now, I do want to mention that this particular episode... is a lot more fun, and it's definitely more kid friendly, and I'm kind of curious. They aired this on November 16th. So this is, you know, basically kind of right before Thanksgiving, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But why wouldn't they air it right before Halloween?
Yeah, it does kind of have that vibe too. Just, I know they always had a Halloween episode. It was always a little lighter. And so this one definitely feels along that lines, but maybe there was a two-parter that pushed it out of the way. I don't know.
Well, for their Halloween episode on October 26th was Dark Sage, which was. So, I mean, it has nothing to do with fun. You know, it's not really, it's not a light episode at all. So,
or Halloween-y.
You could have easily swapped these 2 episodes. I think it would have been better better timing.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially you get a couple scenes in this particular episode that I think are very Halloween-y. We get this, that very special Nell's scene with the flower.
Mm. Oh, perfect for Halloween. Yeah. Actually, now that you mention it, I can't believe it wasn't for Halloween.
Yeah, so I kind of wondered if... you think they had anything to do with the actual order of the episodes? I mean, this episode could have aired in the beginning or the end of the season. Really made no difference.
Yeah, I have no idea how any of that stuff works.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks for nothing. but you have to wonder if they ever thought about this kind of things. I mean, I would imagine you would. But.
Yeah.
So here we are with Charles and Caroline. And talking about delivering the money.
We can't take any chances, not as long as those kidnappers have Nels. As soon as you can get the $100 together, I'll take it out to this hollow log they write about.
Doesn't she have, like, a shoebox full of, a lot of money upstairs? Like, she always has cash on her.
Yeah, no kidding. She did lose it all, though, so I wonder if she's being a little more careful.
I forgot about that. Well, I think this was before the phones. Maybe not.
No,
you're right. You're right. You're right.
This is late.
Yeah, once Nancy's in there, you pretty much have TV.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Charles, that seems very dangerous.
Eleanor, no, I'll take it to them.
I can't let you do that. I think it's too dangerous for a woman.
He's my husband, and it's my money. I'll just take the risk.
Mother, are you sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure, darling. They sent the note to me. I'll take it to them.
And she does. She does. In a terrible world where you're in this situation, which I don't see ever happening to any of us, wouldn't you just pay the ransom?
100%. Especially if I had it, like if I was rich, because what are we guessing? It's like $2,000 nowadays.
Oh, now I have to do the inflation calendar.
Money. I would pay that amount of money plus some, although I don't know if that's a good idea to put out there. I should verify my husband's whereabouts.
Exactly. $100 is worth currently about $2,500.
Oh, well then forget it. I do what Harriet does.
That's a lot of money. All right. So, this is what happens.
And furthermore, you don't expect me to believe that you would release Nails if I did pay you the ransom, do you? It's bad enough to lose my husband. I do not intend to lose $100 as well.
I can't believe it. I can't believe she's not going to send the money.
That's Harriet's handwriting, all right.
How can she not send the money? Doesn't she know the rules? We give the ransom note, she gives the money. That's the way it's always done.
Now, I've been thinking about this. I think we asked for too much. Why don't we send her another note? We asked for $50 instead of $100.
Don't be an idiot. Kidnappers don't give half-price sales.
It was just a thought.
Just a thought. All right. We send another note. This time we say it's the money or his life.
So they do. They in fact... send yet another note.
Mm-hmm.
And Harriet's response is here. While this is all going on, you basically see the crooks from a distance watching her leave the note or the satchel of money.
Mm-hmm. Not one red cent for swindlers. That's final. Please give my love to Nell. Sincerely, Harriet. I can't believe she's doing this to me.
This, places me in a rather embarrassing situation.
Now, don't do anything hasty.
So, this is where things... I feel like there was a scene that was pulled out.
Huh.
Because we have a weird moment. We have, between this scene and the next scene... something happens and we don't see it happen.
Yeah, that's true. We just kind of have to accept it as fact.
Yeah, so...
interesting.
Nels has an idea. What he's planning on doing is telling them to go kidnap Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the kids would gather the $100. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so when we... Nell says, oh, I have an idea. And the next thing we see is Nancy and Willie just run into the bank. And they're talking to Mr. Anderson, who apparently is the new baker. Okay.
And they're about to hit a brick wall.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Anderson!
We need some more ransom money, fast.
More?
Mother's been kidnapped. I found a ransom note in the store. Who knows what they'll do to her if we don't get them the money. I know she sent them the $100 already. For Father,
but... Nancy, slow down. Your mother never sent them the $100.
What are you talking about?
I thought she told you about this. Well, she felt it was wrong to go along with a kidnapper's demand, so she never sent them the money.
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Anderson, I'm sure Mother had her reasons... but I think we should send them the money right away.
Now, this is Nancy, right?
I know. She's so innocent this episode.
This episode, she is sweet up until the licorice weapon.
Yeah. And I think maybe she's like, I am the woman in charge now.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, this is this is a bit of a sweeter version of Nancy. I'm very surprised about this.
We can't do that.
So you won't give us the money?
I'm sorry. She's the only one who can draw money out of the Olson account. Of course, if you could get Harriet's signature authorizing you to sign.
Well, how are we supposed to...
Why wouldn't Nels be able to? That's kind of surprising.
I mean, because Harriet is a psycho, like, I could totally see that. And let's be honest, Nels isn't exactly brilliant with money or anything. But my big problem with this whole episode is it's Nels' idea to kidnap Harriet to get the ransom money.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Nels know that only Harriet can get the money from the bank?
You'd think. Yes.
Yeah, but that's my only little plot hole of this whole episode. Other than that, it's flawless. I love it.
Now, I didn't remember this episode. This is not an episode that aired very often in syndication. At least not that I recall. And so when I watched it recently, I kind of didn't remember what was going to happen. So I was thinking, maybe she's not really kidnapped, or maybe I don't know. I didn't really understand. But then we get to this scene where we get the resolve that she is, in fact, kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. You better eat yourself something there.
I'd rather starve.
Well, I'm telling you, that could take a real long time.
He's busting jokes.
Fat jokes.
So I don't think they're prepared for how awful Harriet is.
No. So, I mean, who is?
But I'm going to play a little bit of that.
You've got to let me go. I can't stand this any longer.
Sorry, lady. You leave when the boss says you leave and not before.
Well, where's your boss, then? I want to talk to him.
Black Jake?
Well...
Black Jake, because he's ready to talk.
I want to see my husband.
Nels?
Yes, Nels. What have you done with him? Where is he?
So he takes his hat off and looks up at the sky.
Right to heaven.
But who's this Black Jake character? Who's just kind of out of nowhere?
Interesting. It's like a really tall man with very bushy eyebrows that we've never seen before.
He's holding a weapon. I don't understand. All right, so this is Nels, right?
Yes, of course.
I think. And I don't understand his reasoning behind siding with the criminals in a way.
Well, because he's so upset that Harriet wouldn't pay money to get him free. He's like, I thought I meant something to her. Dang.
I don't know. I think he's a drinker or something because.
No.
It just doesn't make any. I mean, obviously it's a fictional account, but the character is out of its mind. These guys are basically saying, we're going to kill you if you don't get this money. And he's holding a weapon and nothing's happening.
And it was his idea.
And it was his idea. And they're just kind of like, he's not their boss.
Yeah, but I mean, they've shown him more kindness in the 24 hours he's been kidnapped than Harriet has in their whole marriage. So I think he's just like, let me get even with this lady for not even paying $100 for me.
Now I'm gonna play the creepy Nels laugh.
It's so creepy.
Yeah, it's not bad. Doesn't even sound like him, actually. It's like, oh my god, clear your throat, man. So, Nancy and Willie are fending for themselves. Nobody's helping them. We don't have Caroline coming over to help.
I noticed the same thing. I would have figured for sure they'd be at the little house by now, but they're just on their own.
Have we ever seen Nancy in the little house? I don't think that ever happened.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think she would... stoop so low.
Set foot in that little house.
The dirt floors.
Box.
Willie Olson, you don't care about mother and father at all.
That's not true. I can't help him if I'm starving to death.
Well, I'd do anything to get him back. I'd be willing to...
Now she sees licorice guns.
Yes.
What the? This is something that I don't know if I am aware of. Are you?
Apparently it is a real thing. I mean, I looked it up and yeah, they were a real thing back then too.
What a weird, like a licorice revolver. And yeah. It didn't, you know, it's a tiny little thing. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. So she sees a whole kind of basket of them, a jar. Mm-hmm. And she goes to Willie with a bit of a plan, which I think is a pretty solid plan.
Yeah, she's the brains behind the operation. I mean, she's a smart girl, but this episode we finally see her using her powers for good and not evil.
Her street smarts.
Look at this.
Hey, yeah. Those are delicious.
Will you listen to me? It looks real.
Yeah, and it's good.
Will you stop thinking about your stomach and listen? We'll rob the bank.
What?
It's the only way we could get the ransom money.
I don't think Mr. Anderson's gonna let us rob the bank with a licorice gun.
He won't know it's licorice if you wave it around and act crazy. You're good at that. What do you say?
Well, I don't know.
You want to get Mother and Father back, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Rob the bank when it opens tomorrow.
We're gonna rob the bank. I think it's a pretty good idea, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, where was I? I'm sorry. Okay, here. So, I think it is Georgie who comes back with food to feed everyone. It's starting to, you know, get a little bit crowded, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It will be getting more crowded, which it's kind of like in a horror movie where everybody keeps going down to the basement.
Oh, yeah.
They have half the town here at some point.
No doubt.
It just gets kind of crazy. So here, this is Georgie bringing in crates of food, but not too much.
That's the last of it. Sure didn't get very much food, Georgie.
Well, I don't want to spend all of our money. I only had $8.
You paid for this stuff?
Sure I paid for it.
Why didn't you steal it?
Now, Harriet's sitting there sleeping, and I think we're kind of all like, what the hell's that all about? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Snoring.
Yeah, so, and then we kind of notice that she's holding a bottle. So let's,
empty.
Yeah, so let's,
Actually, I never even thought about that.
What do you think we do for a living anyway?
I thought we was kidnappers now.
What's this? My only bottle of whiskey. I gave her a sip when she came to.
A sip?
A sip? She drank it all? Why'd you let her do that?
She started talking. Seemed like a good thing to do at the time.
All right. We're going to keep watch outside, make sure nobody sneaks up on us. You keep an eye on her.
So now they fully trust Nels. It's bizarre. He's fully a part of this entire scheme.
Yeah, I mean, once you threaten your wife with a weapon, you're just one of the guys.
Well, and no, yeah, exactly. It's, you know, hey, it's just, you know, locker room talk. So he sees some flour that they had brought. I don't know why you would bring flour to a situation like this. But so Ghost, Nels gets this bright idea of putting it on his face.
Yeah.
And, I'll play it.
How could you allow this to happen to me?
Huh? Oh! Nels! Huh? Nels, I tried to get the ransom money.
Remember, she's drunk, so it's doubly effective.
Here, on time, honest.
Not one red cent for swindlers.
Oh, you didn't believe that, did you, Nels? I was just stalling for time. You look at all that against me, Nels, as a grudge. I'm just trying to buy some time.
It's not just the ransom, Harriet.
What do you mean?
You should have treated me better when I was still on Earth.
Even she's kind of rolling her eyes here. It's like, all right, you're kind of annoying from the other side, Nels.
Oh, I think that he is just, I'm with him 100%. It's like his only chance to get even with her. And I'm
that's true. It's true, but at the same time, not the right time, not the right place. And they kind of torture her a bit. They're making her do things that she's not really kind of built for. So
yeah, she's cooking, she's cleaning.
Yeah.
Where's old Paint?
Old Paint? Well, he's right over there. Why?
Just checking. Oh, boy. I thought prison Paint was bad. Oh, well. We'll be getting that ransom money in a few hours, and then we're eating like kings.
Ransom money? What ransom money?
Well, it was Black Jake's idea, really. We sent a ransom note to your daughter, Nancy. As soon as she goes to the bank, we get the money.
Oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, no, Nancy can't get any money out of the bank. I'm the only one who can get money out of our account.
What?
Well, I didn't.
It's just like, oh, my God. So, so you're foiled there. Yeah. So let's fast forward to the bank. So we're waiting outside the bank with people are going. He's not opening for some reason.
It hasn't been open for an hour now, past when it should be.
And apparently everybody needs to get in there right now.
Yeah.
What kind of banking are they doing in 1881 on a daily basis?
I don't know. But, you know, I figure maybe Miss Foster, at least, she has to run the post office. They keep the same hours as the bank. So if she's not getting in there right when they open, she is not getting her money.
It's true. She is maybe just send a money order for her Sears catalog.
There you go. Yeah,
something on layaway. So here we go.
Willie, you brought the gun, didn't you? Willie, I'm talking to you.
I got hungry waiting.
And his mouth is covered in black. And
he ate the gun.
He couldn't just bring two.
I know. They have so much candy at that store.
Yeah, Willie's always eating it. I love the running gag. It goes on for pretty much the entire run of the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, these kind of gags are pretty rare with Willie at this age.
I know. He's so grown, and he's only like a year away from being a married man. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's we start taking him a little bit more seriously, I think, after this episode.
Yeah, and I do think it's really funny, though. I just noticed that it was Nell's idea to send the ransom letter to Nancy, like, who's younger than Willie.
You're right.
Didn't think Willie could handle it.
That's a good point. Nancy will know what to do.
Exactly.
All right. So instead of course, going to Reverend Alden or anyone else, right? They're going to rob a bank. Just very funny. So what do Max and Georgie do? They kidnap, why isn't the bank opening, right?
Yep.
They kidnap the banker.
Of course.
But all they want is $100. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Got a key to the bank besides you.
No one.
No one.
Did you hear that? I don't believe it. I don't believe how.
So they're still bumbling around. And we see all of a sudden there seems to be some type of physical problem with the banker. I can never remember the banker's name.
Mr. Anderson.
Anderson. Anderson's screwing up.
That's a heart attack. That looks a whole lot more like...
Oh, for heaven's sakes, the man's dying! You've got to get him to a doctor, quick!
Anybody but Doc Baker.
You think this attack's on the level? Head on over, we can't take a chance.
So they're in a little bit of a panic here.
Yeah.
But there's a town meeting, thankfully.
Yeah, exactly. I believe it was Doc Baker who called the town meeting.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is happening. First Nels, then Harriet, now Bill Anderson.
Well, who's going to disappear next?
Why isn't anybody doing anything about it?
It really is like a horror movie. I mean, this totally should have been the Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're doing everything we can, darling. Alonzo and I have been combing the woods trying to find their hideout. We just haven't had any luck yet.
It's like they vanished into thin air.
If only there was some way we could get word to them that we're trying to get the money to them.
I'm glad that the Reverend called this meeting. I mean, someone in this town must have seen something or heard something.
Where is Reverend Alden?
Well, last time I heard, he was at Doc Baker's.
But where is Reverend Alden? So Doc Baker and Reverend Alden make an appearance in the mine.
Right.
It's kind of hilarious.
At this point, I think what there's 5 kidnapped victims and 2 bad guys. So there's 7 people in the mine.
The only thing that kind of would have been a little bit more funny is if they had Harriet, like, with a whole chow line, you know, trying to feed everybody.
Just slopping it up.
Exactly. But she does actually have a very interesting comment coming up as a solution to that.
The best line in the whole episode. Harriet.
It totally is.
The dirt floor!
Oh, they're making her sweep and it's a dirt floor.
Oh, Doc Baker! Here he is! Right over here.
I guess you're pretty surprised to see the Reverend here, huh? I lay us together, and old Max, he figured that if the doc can't cure whatever's wrong with the banker there, then at least we'd have a minister to do whatever it is that ministers do to people that are dying.
So another thing that's kind of funny is Reverend Alden's reaction in a moment.
Yeah, Reverend Alden is hilarious this episode. Dabsker and Kevin Hagen, I feel like they had the most fun of the whole episode.
Yeah, I agree.
That's real thoughtful of him, don't you think?
Ah, is he dying?
Calm down, Harriet. Nobody's dying. Bill just had an asthma attack. It's nothing serious, but he shouldn't do anything strenuous for at least a couple hours.
Asthma attack. I'm sorry, Reverend. I don't guess we're going to be needing your services today after all.
That's quite all right. I'm a little late for another appointment, so if you'll excuse me, I'm
not... Nobody goes anywhere. You can all sit down while me and the boys have a little conference outside.
So yeah, I mean, it just kind of gets more and more insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Nels is kind of talking with them. He's having sidebars and kind of coming up with schemes of this and that.
Yeah, and he says, like, okay, well, we'll just break into the bank and steal the money because we have the bankers, so we have the bank key.
Right.
And they're like, you are a genius. And he is so proud of himself. And it's like the first time anyone even really appreciates him. You get to see him, like, puff his chest out and smile and stuff. It's really sweet.
It is, but it's just, you know, being told you're a genius by 2 idiots is, you know.
That's true, but I guess it's better than what he normally hears. It's so true. He'll take it. Beggars can't be choosers.
It is really true because the person who I'm standing up for says this line, which is easily the darkest line in the entire episode.
Listen, I can't possibly fix food for all these people on these measly supplies that you've left me. Somebody's going to have to go to town and get some more food.
Somebody's going to town, all right.
Oh, well, if you're going to go to town, then you might consider kidnapping Caroline Ingalls, because she knows how to cook better than I do, and she's used to doing domestic work.
It's genius.
Yeah, that's so cold-hearted. It's just perfect.
You might consider. Poor Caroline.
I know. I mean, she would be better suited to that, but oh my God, so heartless.
Now, Charles went to the local Home Depot to install something I don't think we thought we'd ever see on The Little House, right?
I know. It's a shame it's come to this.
Yeah.
Honestly, Charles, I just can't believe it's come to this. We've never had to lock our house before.
Maybe when this is all over, we can take it off. In the meantime, I don't want to take any chances. I don't want anyone going in or out of the house until Alonzo and I get back from the bank.
What makes you think they'll rob it?
Well, I haven't got any money yet. Should be getting desperate. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
I hope you're wrong. You could get hurt.
We'll be fine.
Be careful, both of you.
We will, darling. Let's go, Alonzo. Here we go.
Shut up, Beth.
I don't see why they have to guard the bank. They'll look out for each other.
They're also the co-stars of the entire show.
Yeah, but they also have six children at home between all the two of them.
Right.
Like, there has to be somebody with less kids that could go protect the town. It almost feels like Pa's doing this on purpose.
Yeah. It's like anything to get away from Caroline.
Yeah, Jason Bateman.
I don't want to explain things to that kid anymore. Tired of explaining everything. So where are we? We have
So Pa and Almanzo are gonna go. Almanzo, oh my goodness. They're going to go sit and keep vigil over the bank. And in the meantime, we have Reverend Alden just rehearsing and rehearsing the safe combination, which Mr. Anderson has told him, because they're going to break in. Doc Baker and Reverend Alden are going to break into the bank and they're going to get the ransom money.
It's very dark. So this is the scene that's pretty much in complete darkness. So maybe it's perfect for the podcast. Those damn crickets, 24/7, no matter what time of the year it is.
Mm-hmm. Got him. Light the lamp.
Takes 8 seconds to light a lamp.
Let's see what we got here.
Poor Doc Baker.
Yeah, so Almanzo gives a good uppercut to Doc Baker, but Pa has Reverend Alden on the ground, and he's just pounding his head into the ground. It is so violent, and I just love the organ music when they take off the hood and reveal who it is.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed the music in this whole episode, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to say, like, even the music where Harriet's running to and from the log and everything, like, it's just so upbeat and chipper. It's just, they really killed it this episode.
Yeah, this is a very fun episode. This, I still don't recommend this episode for a first episode.
No, it's so not canon. It's so different from the rest of them that if you expect every episode to be like this, you'll be disappointed.
Right. It's like very campy. It's very, and I still think pretty much every character, except for Harriet and Nels, acts completely different. Maybe Willie. Yeah. Maybe Willie, Nels, and Harriet are the only normal ones.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like you said, Nancy is like a complete 180.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a completely amazing person here in a lot of ways. Aside from, of course, you know, wanting to rob the bank. But for good reason.
Exactly.
So they're trying to wake up the Reverend here. Smacking him.
Mm. Almanzo.
What happened?
Reverend, I feel so bad about hitting you. I thought you were one of the bank robbers.
The bank? Oh, yes. Doc Baker?
Yes. How are you feeling? You were out for quite a while.
You can't take a punch, can you, Reverend? Have you ever been hit before?
He has, because he's like a boxer, isn't he?
Right. Didn't he have a whole kind of dark history?
Yeah, he totally does with the Gallagher boys or the Bully Boys.
But I'm telling you, he was tough with them. Yeah.
But maybe he never took punches. He just gave them.
Hey, when you take a punch from Charles Ingalls. Geez.
Oh, yeah. You're a knockdown.
I'm a little lightheaded.
Reverend, I feel so awful hitting you like that. I mean, man of the cloth.
Felt a little good.
No. You were just doing your job.
It's awful good of you to take it that way. Look, Doc told us what happened. The important thing is now we get the money out of the safe and back to those kidnappers.
You're absolutely right, Charles. We've been gone too long as it is.
Well, you've got the combination, Reverend.
The combination?
Oh, he punched it out.
Yeah, Doc said you had the combination.
I have it.
So
you memorize
it. He just hates.
Knocked it right out of his head.
Some of these lines, I think, are padded. I don't know.
Speaking of padded, did you notice what happens? Okay, so Almenzo and Charles decide they're going to dress like Doc Baker and Reverend Alden to try and sneak in and just, I don't know, kick butt and take names inside the mine shaft. So Almanzo has like a very funny line where he's like, oh, I actually look like you, Reverend Alden, once I step a pillow in here. The slam. Yeah, he's just like, that's... oh yeah, I've kind of put on a little weight now.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, here's a scene where, I don't know if I caught that particular clip actually, but let's see.
Sorry, Reverend.
They better come back.
This looks pretty good with this pillow in here.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Sorry, Reverend. You know, Harriet's going to kill us when she finds out we borrowed some of her brand new merchandise.
Is that really what you want to be concerned about?
No.
Half the town is in a mine being held.
Yeah, and they might actually be killed. We don't know.
They've robbed the bank. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's out of control.
Now, it's weird. On the wall, there's a wanted poster.
Yes.
Do you know what it says?
It does say Wanted Bell Gang. And I have a lot to say about this.
All right. I took the bait.
Okay. Well, from 1855 to 1856, there was a gang called the Bell Gang led by Thomas Bell. And they did...
There we go.
They did the first stagecoach robbery.
Oh, wow.
Now, interesting to note, he was born not Tom Bell, but Tom Hodges. Now, Hodges happens to be mine, Kim Layer's maiden name.
What?
And he was killed in a little tiny town that's 1 square mile called Firebaugh, which is where my mom used to live. So I honestly think that I might be related to this guy.
That sounds like there's absolutely some type of connection.
Yeah, and my grandfather, who's Hodges, he never left this small little Central California area. And I have been dying to talk to somebody about this because I was like, I think Little House might have just found my ancestor. But it is a little bit of a continuity issue because that was 1856. And if Laura is pregnant with Rose, then it should be 1886. But I will take it.
I think that that's fascinating. Have you looked in the, how you can look up old archives of newspapers and.
I haven't, but I totally should because I really want to get to the bottom of this. I'm like almost considering getting an Ancestry account.
You know, you should totally do that. That sounds like even if it ends up that you're not, I think that it's a fascinating thing to kind of, dig in your past. Now, my local library has this, and I don't know if everybody's libraries have this, but they offer accounts for researching different newspapers. So you kind of go on there and you can, they'll give you like a temporary password and you log in. It's almost like we have ones for the New York Times and stuff like that. And normally you have to subscribe to the online New York Times, and I don't read the New York Times anymore, but I do like doing the research. So I mean, personally, I found a lot of different things from my family, and I recommend everybody go and check out their like kind of libraries' websites and see what they offer you, because it's really amazing what even local newspapers, like people are digitizing these things and archiving them, and they become searchable, and you just kind of like, for instance, I shared this kind of creepy story. I'm not going to make this too long of a story. Right across the street from me, my whole area was built around between 1920 and 1925. Mm-hmm. And right across the street from me, and in the early 50s, this woman had a newborn baby, and the baby died at some point, like maybe SIDS or something. Mm-hmm. And, really sad thing. And the woman had a complete nervous breakdown and put the baby in the carriage and left the baby in front of the house.
What?
And went back in. And it was like pouring rain, and it was just one of these things where it was like, terrible weather came. And it was only a period of like maybe 6 hours or something like that. And I think her husband came home and they dealt with, with this terrible thing. But that happened right across the street from my house. And nobody's ever heard of this. Nobody talked about this. It's just you type in your street address and all of a sudden you get all these weird things happening. Mm-hmm. About you can find out, you know, certain deaths or accidents and all types of kind of weird things.
Honestly, anyway. That sounds like an episode of Little House on the Prairie.
Actually, it was. No.
What?
Her last name was Landon. No. But it's the nicest house on our block in the sense of they spend probably way too much money for their gardener to come, and they do all like so much stuff. Like, it's just ridiculous the amount of gardening that goes on in their house. And it's such a brightly lit house and it's always cheery. And to know that something so tragic happened in like 1952 or something is it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, no kidding. That's very interesting.
And the people who live there, I think, have owned that house for like 30 years. Yeah. So I never told them, though.
Oh, my gosh. I would want to know.
Yeah, but they're old folks. You know, like, it's like the wife is kind of homebound. Like, you know, I've seen her maybe 3 times since I moved in here. Oh. And the husband is kind of an older, like, guy. But they're not the family that it happened to.
Well, let's hope they don't listen to this podcast.
I don't know how many people we have over the age of 70 who listen. all right. But anyway, but if you're over the age of 70, please contact me.
Get in touch.
Yeah. So we're going... I forget where I am with this clip, so I'm just going to let it play for a moment.
Okay. I don't think the kidnappers will believe you're us.
That's the only chance we've got. These hoods on, I think we'll get away with it. You got the bag?
Yeah, right here.
Are you sure that you can pass Trumple newspaper for money?
We can just get inside. I think I can distract him long enough for Almanzo to get Harriet and Bill out of there.
Seems like a...
Why wouldn't they just go shooting in, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, at this point, you got more hostages than bad guys, so I don't like those odds.
It's a little bit wacky.
Yeah.
And Harriet. Harriet counts as 2 men. I wouldn't want to get into a fight with that woman.
Oh, heck no.
So in this scene, they have the, you know, loud carriage pulls up and the horses, and they're whispering, which I just think is so funny.
And why, oh why, did Doc Baker and Reverend Alden go back? There was no reason for them to go back.
Right. It's just makes no sense. It's a dream sequence, I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm seeing it.
Also, we have 4 grown men in 1 carriage. I've never seen this before. it's just bizarre looking. Like, it's just not something you normally see on Little House.
Looks like they're all inside.
Listen, I want you to keep the rifle with you. You stay close by in case we need you.
We'll be right behind you. Be especially...
I guess that's it for backup.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Reverend Alden's character looks so scared. So...
Careful, the one they call Black Jake. He doesn't say much, but it's obvious that he's the most dangerous one of the group.
Gotcha. Hey, ready?
Raise the lumber beat.
Let's go. So they're just sitting out there with the loudest crickets in America.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, I can't hear over these crickets. Let's get closer.
Right. So this is them kind of approaching the area. And the music's pretty awesome.
You better give me the rifle. I'm a better shot than you are.
I don't have the rifle.
You don't have the rifle?
I thought you had it.
You mean you left it in the rig?
Look, I'm not used to handling guns. The Bible is my weapon.
Oh. I'd better go back and get it.
I'd better go with you.
Hold it! Oh. I didn't recognize you guys without those black suits on. Hey, 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 hey! I knew you'd come back! Where's the money?
The money?
The money, yeah!
The money?
The money. The ransom. The smackaroos.
It's in the rig.
What?
It's like a comedy team at this point. It's a bit much, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. But they had fun.
I think it's You know, I have a hard time with comedy. With Little House, but I like it when it's drier, less it's less animated. So
yeah,
but that's not to say it's a bad episode. I do think this is thoroughly an enjoyable episode, but the reveal is coming up.
Yes.
Oh, well, Max sees this. We finally done it. We committed a crime and we got some money.
Hey, George, look what I found. I told you they'd come back.
Who are those guys?
Who are those guys? Who are these guys?
Wait a minute. Take your mask off. You're not the Reverend.
Charles.
Look at this. You didn't get the money?
Harriet's happening.
No, we didn't bring the money. I think it's about time.
I forgot the combination.
I told you we should go down there ourselves.
All right, George. Tie everyone together. And then you and Black Jake come down to the other end of the tunnel. We got to talk.
So, it's just bizarre. They don't know what to do. They're just, like, so confused and kind of frustrated at this point.
Yeah, and it's getting so out of hand. I mean, there's a total of 9 people in there now, 7 hostages and 2 bad guys, if you count Nels as a hostage.
Right. You're going to run out of guns. I mean, run out of ammo.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, how do you control 7 people? It's crazy.
You don't. All right, so this is where... I'm just going to let it play out. This is a really good scene.
You tied him up good?
You worry about a thing, Max. I'll never get away.
You know, Nels, Georgie and I, we've never been too successful at what we do. We've always been what you'd call small potatoes. But once, we got away with a bundle. Almost $11 altogether. But when you average that out over the years we've been working at it, it don't add up to much. I thought out here maybe things would be different. Maybe out here we'd get our big break. But things aren't going our way. Now all our money's gone. We got no food. 6 people besides us know where our hideout is. I'd say things aren't working out.
What are you planning to do?
Well, I've got to do something, Nels. That's the thing.
What about Harriet and the rest of them?
Well, they seem like nice enough folks as far as that goes. But they know who we are and they know where we are. And if we want to stay in Walnut Grove, we can't afford to have any witnesses. I'm afraid there's only one thing we can do.
This is where we think things are going to kind of get really dark. And they kind of are for a moment.
Run away.
So, they're going to run away.
Yes.
Now, we have, in Walnut Grove, we have Ma just kind of walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Making probably one of the strangest comments. I think one of the strangest. For some reason, everybody's in the bank, by the way. They're all coming out of the bank.
Well, because they're looking for Pa and Almanzo, because they last they knew they were at the bank.
Running out of people, I guess, yeah. Stay together.
I knew something terrible had happened when they didn't come home this morning.
You think? Like, what is that? That's so bizarre.
We never should have let them come here.
Mrs. Ingalls, look!
Huh? And sashaying into town, tied together.
Yes, in one big ball of people.
Is everyone but Nels. Which exactly. I think is, I guess I'll let this play a little bit because it's kind of funny. Okay. It's funny and then a little bit sad.
Manly, we were so worried.
We had it under control the whole time, Beth.
Oh, Mother, we were so worried.
Oh, my darlings. Well, I'm all right.
Where's Father?
Oh, Nels. Oh, my Nels.
My father. Where's my father?
Where is he?
He was gone when we got there, child.
Poor Charles.
Gone?
We'll get your mother home.
Oh, no, it's all right. We'll be all right. I want to be alone with the children. Thank you.
It's like the Godfather music.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds a bit like the sad violin.
Mm-hmm.
So here we get to see another side of Nancy that we, even Willie, you know, where's my father, you know, and it, you know, it's kind of sad at this
point.
Yeah,
they think he's dead.
And that's it. That's the end of the episode. That's where mine ended.
No. It was a real bummer.
Real bummer. All right. So next time when we review. So here we are inside the mercantile.
Go up, Mother. I can't walk by his room.
Me neither.
I know. Oh, I know how you feel. But life must go on.
Beauty of a rainbow trout this morning.
Want to go fishing?
You bet I would, son.
Very sweet, very sweet.
Yeah, totally. And so Harriet passes out one more time because Nels just comes jauntily whistling out of the storeroom and Nancy passes out on top of her. But I totally agree. Willie's little want to go fishing is so cute.
Yeah. And I'm thinking Nellie hit her head and went back to normal.
Oh yeah. Nancy. Well, she,
oh,
had
Nellie.
That...
Jeez.
She had that wig to cushion her fall. So,
oh my, you know, yeah, that wig. Jeez. Mm-hmm. I wonder what her hair looked like back then. Probably like your standard early 80s. Do
straight. Just picturing really straight,
like Brady straight, like just like all one length. Yep, probably.
Yeah.
So here we are with, to close the episode, we have Max and Georgie. They're seeking greener pastures
and they're wearing sombreros and I don't know where they got those.
Maybe they made them. I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
Maybe. You ever been to Mexico before?
No.
And how do you know we didn't pass it already?
You seen any other people wearing sombreros, riding burros?
Well, no.
All right, then. Trust me, huh?
Sure. I trusted you when you said, let's kidnap Nels Olson.
I told you don't ever mention Nels Olson. Georgie, the luck's about to turn.
Now, if you were to go from from Minnesota to Mexico, it's 2,000 miles.
Yeah, and I don't think old Paint the Donkey is going
to
make it.
No. You have to go through Minnesota, through Iowa, possibly Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. You have to go through entire Texas.
Yeah, that would take years on a donkey, with two men on one donkey.
You know, I'm on Google, and you know how they see, oh, yeah, let's see. They tell you how long it would take to walk.
Oh, my gosh.
622 hours.
Hmm.
How many days is that?
I don't know. That's straight, though. That's no breaks or anything.
Yeah, that's straight. No breaks. yeah. So let's just say, let's double that. Well, no, they'll probably triple that. Yeah, it would probably take about at least a year to walk from Minnesota.
Okay.
But they have the time. It's not like they have a job.
Yeah, exactly. Where else they got to go?
Wow, that's really interesting. But if they were cycling, if they were bicycling, maybe that's the same speed as a donkey.
Not carrying two grown men. No way. That poor donkey was like bowed in the center.
161 hours, it says. Okay. So, which really isn't that bad. Like, I don't know if I believe that so much.
Oh, well, I'll race you.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a pretty far distance. That's funny.
Yeah.
But, well, Kim, thank you very much for getting together for this episode. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties.
No, the pleasure is all mine. I love doing these episodes with you, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.